ain't the kind to wear a tie. Working up from 9 to 5. I tried that life but said goodbye. Simply unprofessional.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby. Joining me tonight, we got Mr. Devin.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Devin, I haven't talked to you much this week. How's your week going so far?
Yeah, it's going all right. Can't complain.
No. I can, but I won't.
I mean, that's what I meant when I said I can't, so there's no point in complaining.
Yeah.
I think you're in control of your own life. So if your week's going bad, evaluate yourself. There you go.
Oh, now I feel like more of a piece of shit. Now I feel like my week's going bad because.
Well, let me ask you this question. Are other people making your week bad?
No. I've had a migraine the last couple of days, and the weather's been really shit.
Well, I mean, the weather. Don't get upset by the weather. Don't let the weather depress you.
It's fucking hot. Migraine. And humid.
It's hot and humid here too. I know what you mean. I hate it, but don't let it get you down. And as far as your migraines go, I mean, that's an illness. I'm not going to blame you for that.
All right, I feel like less of an asshole then. Thank you.
But
thank you for tripping me and helping me up, Devin.
Anytime. That's what I do as a friend. I'll knock you down a couple pegs and put you up higher than you were before.
So this week, there's two things I want to talk about. I watched a movie that you had recommended that I watched. It was also recommended by Donnie that I watch it, and so I did, and that movie is Brightburn. And boy, do I have some things to say about that. But first, while I was watching said movie, one of our Facebook group chats was blowing up about something that they're going to be instituting into Overwatch, and I was vaguely paying attention to it because I was trying to watch the movie, so I was hoping that you could possibly shed some light on this, because yes. Rob seemed very up in arms about this and very against whatever change they're trying to make. The gist that I've gotten so far is it's kind of like the Dungeon Finder in WoW.
I'm not a WoW guy, so explain that to me.
Well, okay, so Dungeon Finder is, if you're going to queue for a random dungeon and you're going to, you know, you're going to run it with either a friend or, you know, by yourself, then you need other people to run a dungeon with. So, like me, I play a healer, so I would choose the healing role, I would queue as a healer, and, you know, you can queue as a tank or you can queue as a DPS. Now, depending on which role you queue as, your queue time is going to be varied, you know, because a lot of the times, especially in WoW, they either need tanks or healers really bad, because everyone fucking plays DPS. So, if I queued as a healer, you know, I might get an instant queue, where it's just like, I hit Q, and then boom, it pops up, dungeon's ready, I go in there with, you know, a pug group, and we rock a dungeon out. If I queue as a DPS, sometimes you're waiting 30, 40 minutes before a dungeon queue pops because everybody's a fucking DPS waiting for a fucking tank or a healer to fill those spots out. Now, it's my understanding that this is somewhat similar in the instance that we are now going to have to queue as a specific role. Am I correct? We lost Devin. All right, now I'm talking to myself. Well, that was a good episode, folks. I learned a lot. I said a lot. Devin knocked me down a peg and then raised me back up. I kind of want to start singing that You Raised Me Up song, but I won't. I will spare each and every one of you. I legit don't know where Devin went now. All right. Well, I'm just going to start talking about Brightburn then. This fucking episode has already gone off the rails. Okay, so I watched Brightburn, and it was my understanding, and some people had told me that essentially, okay, this movie is essentially if Superman, you know, in Smallville growing up, was an evil little bastard. I was like, okay, so it's essentially an evil super villain movie, like origin story. That's what I went into it with the understanding of. No, it's a legit ripoff of Smallville, just with changing the names around a bit. And so, some of the similarities. They're in Kansas. There's a Devin. Something happened. I started talking to nothing.
I lost power for some reason. I'm pretty sure somebody either backed or crashed into a pole. Because I heard a loud metal, like, clunking sound. And lights are coming back on now. I heard a loud metal clunking sound. And then things went, they're going in and out. Everything's going in and out. I'm just going to turn off my main fuse so I don't fucking fry a circuit. Okay. Until I know lights are back on.
So are you on your phone currently?
I'm on my phone currently. So.
All right. Well,
the show must go on, as
so,
they say.
So we're gonna save the Overwatch question to the end, because I've already started talking about Brightburn, because I honestly asked you the question and then there was no response. And then I started saying that I started threatening that I was gonna start singing the "You Raise Me Up" song.
You raise me up.
Yep. I just started talking about Brightburn. So we'll go to Overwatch after Brightburn, I guess.
All right, that sounds good.
So essentially, they're in Kansas. Boom, Smallville. Check. He's an alien that fell down from the sky in a spaceship as a baby. Boom, Smallville, check. His name is what? Brandon Breyer instead of Clark Kent. So you have the alliteration there, check. But yeah, this kid's a little fucking psychopath. And like, I felt bad for him at first, but then he started having like his anger issues, and then he realized, oh, I'm a superior being. And I don't have to take shit from anybody, and anyone who does give me shit, I'm just going to eradicate. That is legit what this movie's about. Like, he goes on a killing spree. Like, he crushes this poor his classmate's hand because she wouldn't catch him in a game of Trustfall.
That was more so because he went...
But he freaked... Like... Yeah, he freaked her out.
Yeah, he went to her window because he was trying to understand love.
Yeah, so you do what you do what any teenage boy does in those 80s movies, and you play a love song from the girl's window. Except he was in her room. Yep. Through the window.
She was in bed, and then she saw him, and then she freaked out and told her mom, and then he was like, "You bitch," and then he broke her.
Yeah.
Keep talking for a second, Webby. I'm gonna.
That's fine. And then, so essentially, his first, I guess, kill is this. He goes to apologize to this girl. Once he finds out he's an alien, he finds out pretty quickly. And he gets kind of upset about that. And you find out that the part of his spaceship, because he falls down on top of it, it cuts him. But they had made a big deal about how he's never broken a bone, he's never had a cut, he's never had a bruise before. And now the spaceship cuts him, just like Clark Kent and Kryptonite. Check. But his first kill is he goes to apologize to this girl. He brings this girl flowers. He says, "Listen, I found out I'm special. The world's going to know who I am. You're one of the people who know about me. You know how special I am." And the girl's like, yo, Brandon, my mom says I can't see you or talk to you anymore. And he's just like, all right, I'll fix that. And he goes to his mom, her mom's work. She's like a cashier at like a bowling alley/restaurant. type thing. And yeah, so he makes like the lights flicker, which I didn't think Superman had that power, but it's a cool ability, I guess. And oh, we have a Donnie.
Hello.
Special guest Donnie on SU today. We're talking about Brightburn, Donnie.
Oh, okay.
So the lights start flickering. I could not watch this scene. I kind of knew what was going to happen. Then I looked and I saw it and I was like, nope, I got to wait. But this, the girl's mom walks over and she looks up at the light explodes. The next scene, you see a piece of glass stuck right through the pupil of this bitch's eye. And she's like moving her eye around. The glass is moving. She goes to pull it.
Ugh,
I couldn't look. I have a thing about my eyes. I can't, I don't like things touching them.
Like, same. Not to the extent that I couldn't watch it, but
oh no, I had to turn away. And then she runs to the. I did like how they did the picture after that, where as she was trying to see him, one side was all blurry and red because it was essentially just blinded and
that was pretty cool.
Blood. She ran into the freezer. He fucking cut the freezer in half with his laser eyes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He has laser eyes. Check Smallville. I'm comparing this to I'm comparing this to Clark Kent in Smallville.
Pretty much, he
busts down the door, and then he tackles her, and that's all you see. And then she's just the reports is that this woman has gone missing. The next part of this movie is. He's essentially in counseling with his aunt, who's a school counselor, and his aunt's trying to figure out, hey, do you feel bad for crushing this little girl's hand? And he's just like, not really. And then the aunt's like, well, I'm going to have to tell the sheriff. This kid legit looks at his aunt and says, that's not going to be good for anyone.
Right.
Goes to his aunt's house at night and creeps her out, right? Tells her, hey... Yeah. You talking to the sheriff, it's not going to be good for me. It's not going to be good for my parents. And it's very much not going to be good for you. Legit threatens his aunt. Okay?
Yeah.
Then his uncle, he's like fucking, his uncle comes home from the bar and is brushing his teeth. And you just see this kid fucking like perched up on top of like the shower door. Just like in the corner of the roof, like on the ceiling, like looking down at him. And he has this creepy-ass mask. And I'm just like, oh, man. And then the kid dives into the closet, not stealthily. he like, speed flies through the closet, opens up the door and whatever. And the uncle turns around and is like, what the fuck? Finds him, because the kid doesn't try to hide behind clothes. You know? He just legit just stands in the closet.
Stands there looking like a creep.
Yeah. So the uncle rips the mask off and is like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? I'm bringing you home. We're telling your parents. And then he warns his uncle. He's like, yeah, tell my parents this isn't going to end well. And then the uncle ends, he gets thrown into like the garage door. Now the uncle's on to the kid. Now the uncle knows that something's wrong with this kid. Because let me preface, this kid is 12, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, we have Donnie now.
We have Donnie now.
What's up, Devin?
So, the uncle starts driving fucking however long in his fucking Blazer out to this kid's parents' house, out to the Briar Farm. Fucking ends up running into the kid, literally. The car dies. The kid ends up picking up the truck by the back bumper and flying it into the air. Oh, yeah, he can fly. Check. and then he just, like, drops the car. And the fucking uncle bites the steering wheel. Fucking gruesome.
One of the worst things I've seen on a movie for a long time.
But the uncle's not dead yet. he's right there, but he's not dead. Then this kid goes and fucking sticks his hand in the guy's mouth, gets some blood on his finger, and draws this little sign. His little backwards BB. You know what that sign reminded me of? Remember Bam Bam Bigelow? He used to have like a three-way B on his wrestling uniform. I used to always draw it a lot. That reminds me of that. Anyway, side tangent. Oh yeah, this kid is super fast too. Check. He has legit all the powers of Clark Kent, except for he has more powers than Clark Kent, because Clark Kent can't fuck with, like, electronics and make the lights flicker.
Who knows, man? In the Silver Age, Clark Kent can do anything in the Silver Age.
I mean, maybe, yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
He technically, Clark Kent in the Silver Age, took a giant-ass chain and put it through all the planets and then towed all the planets in the solar system by a chain. So anything's possible, really.
Well, that must have been a very long chain. So this one he covered up, and they kind of made it look like it was essentially a car accident, and he was drunk driving. Then, I don't really remember the series of events that led to this next part. I'm kind of blowing through this real quick, I guess. But the dad takes him hunting.
Oh, God.
There's some other stuff where, like, the dad starts talking to him, and, like, the mom's like, hey, you know, your uncle so-and-so is dead. And he's just like, okay. Is he just eating a bowl of cereal? And then she's like, do you understand? He passed. He's no longer with us. And the kid legit looks at his parents and is like, I feel like you want me to cry? And she's like, do you want to? And he's like, meh. All right. And then the dad starts calling him a fucking liar, like swearing and raising his voice. He grabs him by the arm. The kid fucking shoves his dad and throws him across the fucking room through a shelf. That's when
right there, it's over. I mean, once you beat your dad's ass, your dad can no longer tell you to do anything.
Well, if one thing I've learned from this movie, okay. Forewarning out there for all you kids listening, okay, go watch Brightburn. You'll learn this lesson too. Apparently, things escalate a lot more nowadays than they did back in the day when I was a kid. I learned at a young age, do not backtalk your parents. But
True. But nowadays,
apparently, if you throw a whooping on your dad, he shoots you.
I mean...
Like, that's the next logical step in that progression.
He has to. He's no longer a man at that point. He has to.
He's got to just try to put you down.
He's got to pack up and move. He either shoots you or he packs up the car and goes to the corner store with some cigarettes and you don't see him again.
Yeah.
It's one of the two.
So, essentially, they go on a hunting trip. Okay? They go out into the woods or whatever, right? And this... Brandon, he kneels down. He's like, oh, hey, here's a set of deer tracks. He's like, oh, it wasn't alone. There's two sets here, blah, blah, blah. His dad lifts up the rifle, fucking pulls the trigger, shoots him in the back of the head. All you see is like a little spark, and then Brandon stands up, turns around, and like rubs the back of his head. Oh, yeah, bulletproof, check.
Concussion-proof, check.
Yeah, this kid, now, not giving a shit about anything. He's like, oh, you're one of the few people who are supposed to love me, and you just tried to shoot me in the head. Chases his dad around the woods. Throws him a few times, and then grabs him. Lets his dad beg for his life, and then eyes through his skull. Which slowly. I'm not going to lie. I've always wondered what would happen if Superman ever used his laser vision to, like, burn a hole through someone's head. It's very graphically shown to you what will happen in Brightburn.
He's done similar things. He's used his laser vision to perform a lobotomy on somebody before.
Yeah, on the Captain Britain dude, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah, he did that to do a lobotomy on him. He's done that. He's focused his laser vision, I think, through a magnifying glass or something else before to, like, do, like, sutures on a subatomic level. It's bullshit. Superman's bullshit. I hate Superman. That's why I love this movie. Because I hate Superman.
I mean, I'm not a fan of Superman, but at the same time, I was kind of hoping... Now, at this point in the movie, right... The mom realizes the sheriff pays her a visit, shows her a picture of, like, this BB sign that he's been drawing all over the place at these wrecks. She notices it, goes upstairs, finds a fucking finds a notebook filled with these symbols, with pictures of, you know, him burning the world with laser eyes. Like, it's a very graphic notebook, which, hey, you know what? I was a teenage boy. I used to draw, like, stick figures killing each other in my notebooks. Okay? Is that bad? Does that make me a bad person? No.
No comment?
Listen, they were stick figures. They killed each other in various ways. Okay? Anyway, so she tries calling her husband's cell phone. The kid picks up. And then she's like, "Where are you?" And he says, "I'm home." And then it just shows you him holding the phone, flying and just floating up above the house. And then he just proceeds to fly through the house, back and forth, just tearing this house to bits. Then the sheriffs show up. Devin, I'm going to let you explain your favorite kill. Yeah, we lost Devin again.
No, I'm here. I was muted because I was doing some stuff in my house. And I didn't want you to hear it. So...
I figured Sheriff, since this is your favorite one, I'll let you describe
this.
This
is my favorite. Sheriff shows up with the deputy. He gives her, like, the whole, like, spiel, like, "Don't worry, it's going to be okay." And as soon as he says that, we just see a red blur, and you just see the sheriff get pummeled into, like, dragged off and pummeled into a tree in the split blink of an eye. Kind of like he got his shoes knocked off, but didn't really. But I felt like he should have got his shoes knocked off. Or, like, his kneecap should have still been there or something. Like, it's fucked up. I love that kill. It's a hilarious kill.
Yep. And then the deputy goes into the house and proceeds to get fucking slammed around by this kid and then thrown into the room where the mother's hiding and just dies in a pool of their own blood. This movie is very graphic.
Oh, yeah.
So then the mother realizes, okay, his spaceship can hurt him. All I gotta do is make it to the barn. So she makes a break for the barn. She makes it to the spaceship. You see the body of the lady that he killed in the freezer down in the cellar there, like, gutted and cut open like an animal. She takes a shard off of this spaceship like a knife, and then starts playing the game of hide and seek like she did at the beginning of the movie. And it seems like he's starting to actually come around again, and so she goes to hug him, and then she apologizes and says that she'll always love him and he'll always be her baby boy, and then tries to go to stab him. But, and this is where I honestly thought, okay, the mother's going to kill this kid. That's going to be essentially the end of the movie. They stop the villain, right?
And then they throw the twist at you.
He fucking catches her hand, knocks the knife out of it, looks at her like, "Bitch, you just done fucked up." Grabs her by the waist and flies up through the fucking barn ceiling, which fucks up the mom's face. Okay, her head goes right through the roof. Flies up into fucking almost orbit. Almost to the point where they're gonna fucking pass out. And then there's just like this one scene just where the mom's like touching his face and seeing her baby boy again, and then he just fucking lets her ass fucking fall. And then you see a plane flying at him. And I'm like, "Oh, smart kid. He's going to cover this up with a plane crash, probably." Next scene, it's a news story about a plane crash landing all over this farmhouse, fucking killing everybody except for the kid. And he's sitting on the back of the ambulance eating a chocolate chip fucking cookie. And I'm just sitting there thinking, I really hope they don't run out of cookies. Otherwise, they're going to piss this kid off and he's probably going to kill all the ambulance people.
I mean, to be fair, I do that. He ran out of cookies.
And that was essentially Brightburn, literally in a nutshell.
Yeah.
It's just legit this psychotic kid with Superman powers.
It's Superman if he was bad. If Superman was Zod.
How was it allowed?
It was a DC movie.
Oh, it was?
Was it really?
It was directed by James Gunn.
I did not know that.
I did not know that.
It was directed by James Gunn. It wasn't...
I figured it was one of those movies where they just took enough liberties and changed just enough things about it.
No, no, it was directed by James Gunn. It was directed, if I'm not mistaken, it was directed right along when... after James Gunn got fired from Guardians of the Galaxy. That's when DC scooped him up to do a Superman movie. That was his movie.
So are there going to be more movies like this?
Produced by James Gunn, Brian Gunn, Mark Gunn. I'm going to tell you who it was. It was distributed by Sony, but the production company, let me see, if I'm not mistaken, it was a joint like picture thing with them. But I'll tell you in a second.
Okay, hopefully you can answer me. Maybe either one of you can answer this, okay? Because this was supposed to be Clark Kent. So this was supposed to be Superman, right? So at the end, when they have fucking... what's his nuts from fucking Guardians of the Galaxy playing the news anchor?
So it's not officially a DC movie, but DC was like, we don't care.
Oh, all right. So
that's surprising.
At the end, when it was the crazy ass news anchor talking about this, and they showed the picture of this guy floating in the air, blah blah blah. They also mentioned the underwater guy, which was obviously supposed to be Aquaman. Then they mentioned a witch who chokes people with wires. Oh, that was supposed to be Wonder Woman, I guess, with the last drop of truth.
Probably.
And then they showed a picture of like this crazy guy in a red suit, which was supposed to be like the Flash. So they had all of the Justice League on there in picture form, and then the movie ends.
Yep.
Fucked up movie. It was really fucked up.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Fucked up, but fantastic.
I
say fantastic, but it's like not like the greatest movie ever. Like, don't get me wrong.
Do you know, are they going to make any others? Or is
there's possible sequels in the works, but it's not. I mean, it made money. It was only a $5 million budget made, or sorry, $6 to $12 million made $32 million. So I mean, it made money. There's possible sequels in the works. Say that upon the film decision being said, later interview with Clary, mid credit scene making reference to a half man, half sea creature terrorizing the sea. Rainn Wilson's character is Frank Darbo, the Crimson Bolt from Super. Oh, okay. So these are not references to the Flash specifically. These are all old James Gunn films, it looks like. So you had the making a reference to the half man, half sea creature terrorizing the seas. Then you have Rainn Wilson's character, Frank Darbo, slash the Crimson Bolt from Super, which is a James Gunn directed movie about like a guy kind of like the Flash. It didn't do well. It was kind of similar to Kick-Ass in that, so he tied that in. And a powerful witch who chokes her victim with a rope was intended to set up a sequel, in addition noting that an alternate ending to the film featured Emmy Hunter's Caitlin ending with her in a lab fastening a robot arm on her broken arm, and her just pissed off.
Oh, well, the neighbor chick who he broke her hand.
Yeah, yeah, she has like, she gets like another ending, she has like a robot arm.
Oh, so she turns villain too?
No, she's pissed off. So she was going to, I guess, become the hero trying to kill him, I'm guessing.
Oh, man. Heroes with a vendetta to kill. That sounds like an evil thing to me.
Nah.
That sounds like Midnighter. He's my favorite hero of all time. Fuck it.
So. All right. Well, I mean, Donnie, what did you think of Brightburn?
Super fucked up. Super, super, super fucked up. It rags on Superman a little bit, I think. And I'd watch it again.
I mean, it rags on Superman a lot. It is legit. Like, when Devin was like, hey, this is essentially if Superman were evil, I thought he was just like, oh, okay. Like, I legit thought it was just going to be a movie about a psychopath kid who had superpowers. No, it legit, he has every superpower that Superman has.
Like, yeah, I think it'd be something a lot of people would watch a sequel to. honestly. I think it's an interesting theme.
Like, in, I referenced...
Like for other heroes.
I compared this to Smallville a lot. I did the little checks and balances. In the beginning of the movie, he's going to mow the lawn, and he fucking throws the lawnmower, like, halfway across the yard.
Almost word for word what happens in Smallville?
Well, he goes, and he sticks his hand in the small in the lawnmower blade. In Smallville, he sticks his arm in the wood chipper.
Ugh.
To prove that he can't get hurt. You know? So, I mean, there are definitely a lot of similarities. Yeah, so I mean that's all I had on I almost said Smallville on Brightburn. Devin, now that you're back and your internet's back.
Well, internet's not back. I'm still on my phone, but I can talk to you.
All right. Now do you want to explain to me everything that was happening in the group chat and what was going on with Overwatch here?
So, Overwatch, what you want me to explain what happened in the chat?
Well, you don't have to go verbatim through the chat, but like, I brought up the fact, and I started describing how,
you brought up how the
dungeon finder and WoW.
Yep. And for those of you that don't know, let's start with the previous. Those of you that don't know, Overwatch has always been about swapping heroes on the fly. You know, you do a variety of things. You know, swapping heroes on the fly, doing what you do kind of thing. Drop in, do a hero, like, oh man, you know, there's three categories of heroes. There's, you know, DPS, tank, support. That's pretty basic across most games. You know, you swap in, you start playing DPS, but your team needs some support. You swap to a support. Ideally, that never fucking happened, ever. Unless you were the one swapping, it never fucking happened. It got to the point where I told Webby, I said, Webby, I've watched so many videos, talked to so many people. Don't swap. Fuck it. Who cares if you lose? Because 9 times out of 10, the people who sit there and one-trick their way through a game, like, you're better off getting better at one role than you are trying to swap to cover the asses of other people. Because even if you lose those matches, you'll get better at playing your role, which will then move you up overall as that role. So just play the role you want to play. Stick to that role. Who cares if the other team is like, you're all DPS. That's not your problem. It's not your fucking problem. Nobody can yell at you and be like, yo, you need to switch. Well, fuck you. There's 4 other people on this team that's not switching, so fuck you. Ignore them. Do as you do. So in an effort, and this is, that was one problem. So you have people who wouldn't swap, and you have really unbalanced teams. Problem number 2. That came around because of this was that of the standard, you know, of the standard rules was that you'd have people, let's say since day one, Webby played DPS since day one, but he was a really trash tank and a really trash support. But then he was like, you know what? I'm getting into matches where I'm always constantly matched up with 3 or 4 other DPS. So we're always having to play these off-tank roles, these off-roles, where, you know, to balance out the game as you get up higher, hopefully people work together as a team and say, hey, well, I'm best at DPS. I'm best at this. I'm best at that. But if you end up in matches, which has happened to me before, where you end up in a match with 4 DPS mains. So, and they're like, well, do you guys play tank? I have like 3 hours on. Well, how about support? 5 minutes. Okay. And you're just like, well, we either make these 4 DPS work for the match or you lose. And that's pretty much what happened. So what they did was, in this case, was they introduced role queue. A role queue with different skill ratings attached to each role. So because, let's say that same scenario, Webby is a gold, diamond, let's say diamond DPS, but he's a bronze support. So in old school Overwatch, if he played support in a, you know, a diamond DPS match, he was in, you know, he's in diamond tier. He played DPS the whole time he ranked up. He played DPS, but now he's forced to play support. But he's a bronze support, so really he's the weak link of the team at that point. Even if on DPS he's super strong and super capable, his support skills are not up to par. He cannot keep up with the pace of the room, so they're gonna lose. So what this does is it splits it up into the three groups. In every single group block you walk into, you're going to have a different skill rating. So if I'm a, like me personally, give you an idea, me personally, I'm probably, if I had to, like, going off old ratings, because I flexed a lot, I'm probably between high silver to mid gold. Well, all right, high silver to high gold, depending on the day of the week, really. But I'll give myself less benefit of the doubt. I'll say high silver to high gold on DPS and tank. In support, I'm probably in low to mid plat. So if I had to pick up as a DPS and play DPS in a game I ranked up, let's say the entire time I ranked up, I did it as plat, I did it as support, I would be plat. Then I swap over to DPS, I'm about 300 points lower than I should be. I can still keep up, but I'm not going to be as useful as I could be. So now it's going to be split up that way where that's not going to happen. If I want to go in and play as a DPS, then I go in and play as a DPS, and I'm ranked silver in DPS, then theoretically everybody I'm put with will be, I'll be put with another silver ranked DPS, two silver ranked supports, and two silver ranked tanks. So now you have a team of silver ranks locked at 2-2-2. So, and it basically just boils down to who can make the best team out of what they have available to them and strategy. It boils down to that now. That's basically what happened. Rob was a little upset because he was like, well, this goes over to quick play too, and it's going to ruin quick play for me because now I have to do, you know, X, Y, and Z. You know, and now I have to, you know,
placement matches,
which I read into that, and that's not true. Placement matches are only applying to comp as far as, based on what they're saying on the press release from Blizzard, placement matches only apply to comp. But what they did say about quick play is you're going to have matches, it's going to be about 10 to 15 matches before they're able to accurately place your skill level with the character in a certain range. So your MMR, I'm guessing they're going to reset MMR, which is something people have been asking for forever. Reset MMR. So that's what people have been asking. I'm hoping they're going to reset MMR for this. That's what I'm speculating at this point. They're going to reset MMR. When they reset the MMR, they're going to have players doing the thing, right?
Okay.
So that's the plan. So now, any questions?
Now, I can tell you the one thing I don't like from what I've heard so far, I do get it, and overall, I don't think it's going to bother me. I just think it takes away from what the game originally was, and that's now you're going to, no matter what, every team composition is going to be two tanks, two healers, two DPS.
True. Which I honestly feel like they're eventually going to happen. I think they're going to, if they get enough complaints about it, I think they're going to have an aggregated flex where they'll fill one person on a team as a flex who has the option to pick, you know, so they'll give you a flex rating. So, like, this is me speculating. This is what I'm thinking is eventually going to happen. You know, let's say your DPS is 1,500, your support is 2,000, and your DPS is silver, your support is low gold, and your fucking tanking is, like, 1,100. They would average those three together and throw you in a match. Yes, you would still probably be the weak link, and it would kind of defeat the purpose a little bit.
Well,
but eventually, I think that they may go that route just to make some mix up and difference. Depending, and I think it really depends on how this Overwatch League goes on the 25th, because going from the 25th and beyond, for this season of Overwatch League, season 4, they're locking in all teams to 2-2-2. So it's going to be really, if that goes over well with people, it'll stay. If people hate the 2-2-2 mechanic, you think it'll go. But I will say this, because of 2-2-2, you will see a lot more, you're going to see a lot more people getting a lot more characters getting playtime because certain strategies come back into the fold on 2-2-2. Because it's like, for instance, like you can't run Mei on, if you know, you can't run Mei as an off tank. You have to run her as a support. You may not see Mei as much, except in these situations where before you kind of can run Mei as an off tank. You don't have that option anymore. I used to love running Mei as an off tank. She's my favorite. Love Mei. What's up, Mei? So you may see her coming back into more like stronger niche roles, as opposed to rarely ever used, except in by mad lads of people. Just people like, I'm going to do this and make it work. Like with Seagull pulled off back when he was still playing professional. I don't think it's going to be a bad thing. I do think it does take away a little bit from the fact that you used to be able to swap to any class, any character. I do think that. However, that did create problems. Because you have those, we've all been in those matches, Webby, where like, you know, you have, yeah. I know you have, but I have too. Where you've had a team that was good, and then your tank gets frustrated because he feels DPS isn't doing their job. So he swaps to DPS. And then now you're going to have a tank. So then everybody else is getting fucked up. And then your healer gets frustrated, and it's like, well, fuck you guys. And then they go tank to cover, maybe they don't get tilted. They just say, well, now we need a tank. So they swap from healer to tank. Instead of all the DPS blame each other. Well, it's not fucking me. I'm doing my job. I have goals. I have that. It's not me. So then you have three DPS who are all blaming each other for not getting kills. But meanwhile, you don't have a tank. And then you have your support, probably me or you, or somebody else, like, fuck it. I'm going to go tank and help the team out. You swap the tank, and then now you're missing a support. So now you may have a tank to cover your team, but you don't have the healing to heal some damage. And it gets so it sucks.
No,
so
I do get that. And so at least I do
you're
think
have an environment where you know what you can expect. So if you go theoretically with this format, if you go into a match and you play your best, you play the role you want to play and you play your best, theoretically, I see people getting higher rankings out of this because they're going to be able to play their best and not have those crazy, stupid surprises like, oh my God, what's going on? And I think it's also going to force team play.
Now, that's what I was going to say, is I do see that this 2-2-2 combo is going to end up, you're going to get a lot more, I feel, strategic gameplay.
Yeah.
And because kind of now you do know that no matter what the other team has in store for you, you're going up against two tanks, two DPS, two healers. Your comp is also two tanks, two DPS, two healers.
Right, and it becomes about individuals making calls and swapping the counter specific picks. Right. So like if you have like if they're running a Brig and you run Tracer, well, even though Brig is technically a support and Tracer's a DPS, Brig does kind of counter Tracer. You know, at the worst time. Same or even McCree. There you go. McCree and Tracer. It's a very interesting dynamic of a matchup. You have really good McCree, you have a really good Tracer. The McCree holds the flashbang because he knows if Tracer gets hit, Tracer's dead. Tracer knows if she gets hit, she's dead.
You know what I think they should do?
It's an interesting dance. What?
So this is gonna be established on quick play as well, correct?
Yes. I couldn't test quick play because I didn't bring it into the options yet. But yes. Okay. As far as I know, it's going to be on quick play. But in terms of ranking and individual like visual ranking, it's not going to
affect. But I'm talking like the 2-2-2 setup is going to be part of quick play eventually.
Yes. But
what I feel, I think under arcade, they should put in like a classic.
That's what they're doing. No, that's exactly what they're doing. So they're turning quick play into, basically comp training, where you can practice comp, you can practice your role in a setting that's ranked, but not ranked, if that makes sense.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas in arcade, they're gonna have quick play classic. As far that has been, is my understanding, has been confirmed unofficially by a few sources that they're going to have quick play classic. So you can go on arcade, and that's gonna be the permanent arcade game. That's always an arcade quick play classic. You pick it. You can pick your heroes. You can do whatever you want. Fine. And which honestly, I've always felt that. I feel like because quick play, there really was no place the only way you could practice competitive was playing competitive, because there was really nothing that gave you the same experience. But the problem is, if you were practicing a new character, practicing a new role, you right. had to sacrifice. You were basically throwing matches.
Yeah. No, I do get this. And I think I think in the chat, in the group chat earlier when you and Rob were discussing this, I think if you went back and you explained to him that essentially they're not changing a set, don't think of it as just them changing quick play. They're taking quick play, moving it to the arcade, and then they're essentially taking your comp and giving you comp light, which is a non-ranked competitive, you know, matches.
Right.
That you can test things.
You're still going to get those people jumping in quick play because it's not ranked. You're still going to get those people jumping in quick play, playing Genji and just jumping off a cliff, like whatever. Like, that's to be expected, but you honestly get that in competitive, so it's yeah. kind of, it's realistic in a weird way, but so you're going to get that definitely coming that way.
Well,
you're definitely going to get that happening, and that's what I kind of explained in the last, like, few paragraphs there. I was like, if you go to arcade, like, arcade is going to be the new quick play. I said, like, arcade is going to take over for quick play, which is what I feel it's always should have been. Because it's like, I always played either arcade or quick play. Because it was like...
And Devin cut out right there.
Got cut out there for a second. It was always tuned for me. I think I explained it to Rob. Why I think I explained it in the last, like, few messages. I said arcade's going to become the new quick play.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're going to have that situation where if you want to just drop in for casual fun, jump in arcade. If you want to, you know, play to get better, you start in quick play, and then once you feel like you're doing pretty good, you can jump into competitive.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yep.
So under quick play, you're going to have to play these placement matches just so they can kind of
as far as
pair
I
you
know,
with people of similar...
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if there's going to be official placement matches, like where you have to like play X many matches to place in quick play, or if what they were saying was it's just going to take about 10 to 15 matches for us to give you an accurate evaluation of your
right. That's not my question. My question is, are they going to have, if you went to arcade mode, are they going to require you to play any type of placement matches or whatever in arcade mode?
No. Unless you have the occasionally in arcade mode, you get like the 1v1 ranked in the
yeah.
in the Lucio Ball ranked. Other right. than that, no.
All right. So then nothing's really changing, because even then, me, you, and Rob never really played quick play anyway.
Right. We always jumped in.
We always either played competitive or arcade.
Well, Rob didn't really play competitive because usually, I think he played at the end there. But I don't know, when we first playing, he wasn't high because you had to be level 50 or 25 to play competitive.
Right.
And he wasn't at the level. And then me and you played it. And then you got frustrated for a while. So we didn't play. And then I got frustrated for a while. And then we didn't play. So
yeah.
then we just started playing just fun matches.
Yeah.
And then I went off and started doing my Hanzo stuff. And then I climbed that mountain and then came back a new man.
You hear this, Donnie? You hear this, Donnie? He's a new man.
Yeah, I'm listening.
He's a new man.
A new man.
You raised me up.
I logged a couple dudes in the ass and became a new man.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, people always joke and say Hanzo's arrows size of log. So I laughed and said I logged a couple people in the ass and became a new man. There you go.
Hey.
There you go. Take that sound bite. I don't give a fuck.
Well, I think all in all, again, I think it's not going to be a bad change having this 2-2-2 system. It will take some getting used to for some Overwatch people or some people who only played
yeah.
very casually.
Oh, sorry to interrupt real quick, too. I just remembered this. So you also can queue in for multiple types. Like, so if you like, I don't really fucking care what I am, I just pick whatever.
Right.
Like, you can, there's three check boxes. You can just check all the boxes and hit go, and you'll just get thrown into whatever's needed.
Yeah. It's just like the WoW Dungeon Finder then.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you can just throw in there whatever. I don't really care.
Yeah.
So I would just throw it out there for people. That's always an option. Like, that's what I did. I, you know, mainly in most cases when it comes to competitive, I play. My main roles are, at least on my main account, my main roles are support, off tank. Very rarely do I play anything besides support and off tank. I'm not the greatest main tank. I'm all right. Support is my jam. Lucio is my jam. Ana used to be my jam, but then I stopped playing Ana.
And see, I only play support DPS.
So there you go. I mean, so you drop in, and you're going to have a lot easier time. Basically, just like in a while, support gets no love, so they get all the love.
Yep.
In fact, support got no love to the point where they were giving away loot boxes if you played support.
Yeah. They do that in the WoW Dungeon Finder too. Like if you log into WoW and you check your Dungeon Finder, you know, you'll check DPS, it's like, okay, there's nothing. You check healer or tank sometimes, they'll be like, "Oh, if you choose this, you get this extra loot chest at the end of the dungeon." For choosing this role, I'll go heal this.
That's exactly how it was for me to heal. Like I was playing, I selected tank, and the thing is this: you just have to select it. You don't actually have to even be it. Like I got the loot box. I selected tank, and support was the one that was offering the loot box. And because I selected, I gave the option to be support. It gave me a free loot box.
Yeah,
I was like, I will gladly take support or tank. I wound up playing off tank. I got matched with the main tank. And for me, that's awesome. Like, that was perfect. I got matched with a guy who main tanked. I picked off tank. I played off him.
Honestly, you know what I think this is going to do? What I think it should do?
Create a friendlier environment?
No, that's not going to happen. It's a video game.
It honestly
could. No, it's a video game. All video games are toxic.
No. This is the thing, though. I'm honestly convinced, and this is the thing about Overwatch. There's two tiers of people in Overwatch. Or there's two, like, weird tiers. If you're really, really shitty and, like, the bottom of bronze, you have a really nice community. If you're really, really good and towards the top of Grandmaster, you have a really nice community. It's like that middle ground of, like, between gold and diamond that you have the shittiest people known to man. It's a true story. Yeah, that's true. I've played with a lot of these people. That's a true story.
So, Donnie, as a reference for you, because I know you don't play Overwatch, what right. Devin was just saying, because I see that you're playing Diablo, if you're level 1, your community is fantastic. If you're level 70, your community is fantastic. It's levels 2 through 69 where your community sucks balls.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far. I'd say, like... Level, like, if you're level, like, 25 to, like, 60, 65, like, right around there. That good, yeah,
you know,
solid
the majority
stuff.
Of your leveling,
the majority
your community
of the level
sucks.
Is really shitty.
And they're going to turn you away from the game.
You still find some nice people, like, but majority of that is, and you honestly, you
well,
get that by seeing nice people playing with people.
What I was going to say before is... Having it with this queue system, I feel like all the people who only ever play DPS, they're going to start queuing up for these matches. They're going to realize, oh, these matches are taking a while to queue because everyone's fucking playing DPS. No one's healing or tanking. You're going to get more variety of people switching over and trying new heroes and saying, well, you know what? I don't feel like waiting a half hour to fucking queue up as a DPS. I'll queue up as a healer and see if it goes faster. And there'll be, you know, more people healing. You know what I mean?
True statement.
I hope that's what would happen. That's not what happens in WoW. I will also say this.
That this gave me the quickest queue time I've ever had in a game. Granted, it was PTR. But usually PTR queue times are super long anyway. Literally, I clicked play and I was in a match because there was people, you know, they had a spot waiting for me and it was like, boom. So it was just, I'm right in there. So I think they're going to cut down on queue times. And I will say this doesn't count for much because I never disliked Overwatch per se. But as a person who was like, air quotes, retired or taking a break from Overwatch for a long time, like I haven't played the game in probably 9 months. I haven't thought about it in probably 7 or 8. this actually got me kind of reinterested in.
Oh boy.
I'm not gonna.
Now we're gonna lose Devin to Overwatch again.
No, I mean, to be fair, I'm losing you to WoW Classic, so.
That's not even out until next month.
Okay, I'm. By the time this goes live, it'll be next month, so.
There. You can come play WoW Classic with me and Donnie.
You don't want me to play WoW Classic with you.
Why?
Because I suck at WoW.
So?
I suck at WoW. I'm going to get frustrated. My desk is barely hanging on. My desk is like two fist matches away from
collapsing. And the truth is set free.
I blame Disc Jam.
You're not wrong. That was the last one that did it. That was the last one. Like, my desk, when I grab it and I wiggle it, I can feel it separating in the back. I can feel it. I'm like, this is like two solid fist smashes away from just collapsing in the back.
I have a theory that if, Donnie, tell me if, based off of what you've just heard Devin say, I have a theory that if Devin ever did play WoW Classic with us, he would probably be better than both of us.
I honestly was going to say that.
He's just afraid that he'd end up getting that hook, that WoW hook in his mouth.
To be fair,
and it is a time sink. It is a time sink. WoW is a time sink.
I refuse to give WoW the time because I'm not putting that much of a time sink in.
I mean, hey, for the longest time, I refused to play WoW too when all of my friends asked me, hey, come play WoW, come play WoW. You know why? You know why I refused to play WoW?
In life with you guys? I will gladly talk to you guys the entire time you're playing.
Hey,
I will gladly play a game that is not consume my life.
I also did not play WoW for the longest time, and I refused to. Do you know why? Because I played Diablo 2, and I felt I felt like I'd be cheating on Diablo.
Oh,
right,
Webby,
if
let
I
me
played
ask you this
WoW.
Question. Webby, let me ask you this question: if they released a Diablo 2 remaster same day as WoW Classic, which one are you going with?
Depend. Hold on. Answer me this. You have okay. You posed a question and a scenario. I need to pose a question and a scenario back for more information.
Okay.
if they were to release a WoW remaster or a Diablo 2 remastered edition on the same day as the WoW Classic, would you play the Diablo 2 game?
I'd buy Diablo 2 in a heartbeat.
So you would be playing it the day that came out?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, Donnie. Ugh. I'm sorry, Donnie. I'd have to go with Devin.
I would be playing Classic by myself.
Yes, you would. I'm sorry. Now, the reason I ask is because if Devin wasn't going to be playing Diablo 2, I'd be on WoW because Donnie's on WoW. I'd rather play with
no,
someone.
I mean, like, I fucking.
But
if
I had the option of playing with someone, and then the secondary option was Diablo or WoW, I'm always going to choose Diablo. I'm just Diablo.
I mean, honestly, as a game, I honestly do prefer Diablo over WoW. The only reason why I don't play Diablo more is because Diablo 3, as fun as it is, just does not have as much replay value to me as Diablo 2.
See, the thing is, it's the same game.
Hey, Rob.
It's the same game. It's just
Hello?
Diablo 3 has better graphics, essentially.
Diablo 3 has better graphics, and they.
It's
but
still
they also,
it's still just a run around hack and slash
they
grind.
Also, but
game.
Webby, they also though they don't have our Diablo 3 does not have. My Amazon? Or my Valkyrie, whatever she was called.
I mean, the Amazon. You're right.
Yeah, and that was my class. Amazon with the javelin. Bring it. That was my shit. I love that.
Hey, you know what? I'm all for if you guys want to. I have Diablo 2. I will go and I'll reinstall Diablo 2. I'm sure there are still some servers that play. We can just hop on. We'll bust out a Diablo 2 game.
I mean, I'm totally not against playing Diablo 2 at all.
You know,
I mean,
honestly,
I am because I don't have power. But I'm not
honestly,
against...
you know what I do miss from Diablo 2 that they did not bring into Diablo 3, and I kind of no runes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, being
well,
able
technically
to put
they're
being,
in.
Well, being able to take the runes and insert them into, you know, pieces of gear in a very specific way that it creates a new piece of gear.
Yeah.
You know, those were always really cool.
Yep. Yep.
I am glad that they got rid of those fucking, the charms. I did not like charms. I liked what they did, but I did not like the fact that I had to carry them in my inventory to get the bonus.
I am not happy that they got rid
of... You're not happy that they got rid of what?
The cows.
They have the a secret cow level still.
I know they do, but they say the cow level's a lie.
I know, but that's because it's a conspiracy theory. It's there. It's there. Dude, it's on a rift. They're a rift. It's a rift level.
I pseudo boosted every Diablo 2 character I ever had.
Uh huh. You join a game. That was the thing. You make a Diablo 2 character, and then you go look for a game where people are doing a cow level. You jump in
and just follow them around. If they die, yep, you take their shit and try not to die in the process.
Yep.
That's exactly what you do. You get a bunch of money, you get a bunch of shit, and then you jump out the portal right before you die, and you fucking have a bunch of shit for your character, and everybody's happy. Because I forgot, did Diablo 2 have leveled gear or not?
Did it have what?
Leveled gear or not?
I don't think so.
I don't think it had leveled
gear. I think you can equip just any gear.
Diablo 2 was it was all stat-oriented. So, like, to wear a certain piece of gear, your dex had to be so high.
As you leveled,
you were able to put points directly into dex and strength and whatever.
Yeah, there you go.
Diablo
2 was more Baldur's Gate-ish.
I also miss having a collection of ears. Because whenever you killed another player, you could loot their ear.
And just keep them.
Yeah, and then I kept them all as trophies.
I mean, that's where they brought that belt in called the string.
Yep. I miss it.
So, boys, I was trying to stay away from fast food, but I can't cook the chicken I was going to cook tonight, so I may have to go out and get some food. Also, too, Rob, while you're here, do you have anything you want to vent about Overwatch or any questions? I'm happy to answer.
Because we actually just finished discussing that.
No, Overwatch is great. I love it.
I honestly don't think it's going to be as bad as what you portrayed it would be in the chat from what little I read. Because I was watching a movie.
Alright.
So
basically, just to sum it up real quick, real simple, Rob, they're basically moving the quick play as we know it now to arcade. You're going to have quick play classic in arcade. That's kind of the confirmed rumor. That there's going to just be the permanent quick play option in arcade that you can play completely free with no issue. And in terms of, it's still not 100% clear on the placement matches for quick play, because the way they worded it is either going to be placement matches, actual placement matches, or it's going to take us 10 to 15 matches to place you in the correct level. Like, I'm not exactly sure how that was going to go, but they did say MMR, which historically speaking, MMR has always been hidden. It's no visual representation to discover MMR. Also leads me to believe that they're going to reset MMR, which is a very, 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 very good thing. I'm happy. I've been asking for a reset for MMR for about seasons now because it needs it bad. Because, like, as you start playing the game and you suck, your quick play level is shit. Then you go on quick play, and if like you originally treat quick play as competitive practice, even as like it's in its old sense, MMR prevented you from doing that because your MMR was, say, your MMR was like low bronze when maybe you were a gold player. So you go in there, you're like, well, I had this guy jerking off in the corner, and I have to let him finish because Webby says so.
You goddamn right, you let Webby finish.
I got this guy over here doing what he's doing, and then this is that. So if they reset MMR, it would basically, after 10 matches, play 10 matches, 10 to 15 matches, and you'll have a reset new MMR that you never see, but it will at least be in a pseudo-accurate depiction of your level. But in terms of, like, just casually hopping in, playing with friends, doing all that stuff, nothing should really change. in any kind of significant way? Because, like, usually when we played arcade anyway because we wanted loot boxes, baby. And quick plays and do the loot boxes. And I did hop in the PTR. I played a match. They don't have quick play available right now. So I played one match of competitive on the PTR. You know, it seems to be what I thought it was going to be. We're going to have the tanks and in order of least populated to most populated support tank DPS, where support was so underpopulated, it was like a 1 second queue time and a free loot box. So there's that. And just being locked in the 2-2-2, I know you're saying like you didn't like that case because it's going to change the way the game is kind of meant to be played. And to a degree, yes, I 100% agree with you to a degree. However, I also do feel like it will prevent a lot of issues with people. Like, you're going into a match and somebody gets tilted, somebody gets pissed off, and then the next thing you know, your Percy is a fucking Genji. And you're like, all right, well, this just happened. And that's annoying in both competitive and in. Because, like, I've had great quick play matches. Like, they felt like competitive, where it was a good back and forth match. And then you have that one player that quits out or gets disconnected, somebody else joins, and then it becomes just a tilt fest of this person just trolling or whatever. And it gets really stupid and annoying. But, I mean, in terms of us, like, playing together, hopping in a match and just playing around, having fun, I don't think anything's going to change too much. But we shall see.
Well, yeah. I mean, the main thing that I don't like is that it's now separated. So, like, you know, Symmetra is my favorite character. So that means in order to play her, I have to choose DPS. But then if someone else takes her, or if it ends up being a situation where she's not really viable, I have to choose a different DPS with which I suck with all the rest of them. So, like, I can't switch to, like, because I can't switch to, like, Mercy or D.Va, which I'm good with. I have to stick with a DPS. So... And, like, vice versa. Like, if I'm Mercy, and then I can't switch off of Mercy, I have to say, like, I'm not good with most of the other healers. I mean, I could get by, but...
Right. I don't know. Which, I mean, is not... I understand that. I think that... I don't think you're going to necessarily run into that problem a lot, where that's the case. Because so eventually, you know, cause eventually what's going to happen in that situation, where if you are in that situation in quick play, where you're dropped down to the point where you're playing some, you want to play some Metro, somebody else has some Metro. And you're like, well, I got to play another, you pick up Soldier 76 or whatever. You just pick up somebody else, or you pick up, trying to think of another DPS or something, like Reaper or whatever. You just pick up somebody and pick them up. The thing is that with the way they work out now, because of how the individual levels work out, the whole room, even if you're like 100 or 200 invisible points in skill behind as Reaper than you are with Symmetra, the whole room is kind of going to be around your level anyway. So you won't have that situation fighting an uphill battle against people who are already better than you as a character you're not familiar with. So you'll be in a situation where everybody in the room is probably not amazing with their character, so it's okay. Like, it's a good time to learn. So I do think this mode will help people grow for the better, because you're eventually going to be playing against people who are your equal at one stage or another. So I do think eventually of just doing that, you're going to get naturally better and age out of the system, so to speak. So that'll happen. So, like, yeah, like, you may start off only knowing how to play Symmetra, but let's say 20 matches in a row, somebody picks some. So you're like, fuck it, I'll try Doomfist. You try Doomfist, and hey, you know what? Yeah, don't. Junkrat. Junkrat. Perfect example. Junkrat's great character. Easy character to pick up, fun character to play, good at high level. Junkrat. You pick up Junkrat, and you're like, alright, I pick up Junkrat. You start Junkratting everybody, and you're like, you know what, I really like Junkrat. Junkrat's really good. I like Junkrat. I want to keep playing Junkrat. So you're like, cool. So my two characters are Symmetra and Junkrat. Those who I play, those are the people I play the most of. That's what I'm going with. Symmetric Junkers.
And if you think about it this way, Rob, with the 2-2-2 aspect, if you force yourself to get better with at least one other DPS, even if your other DPS, you know, say the other person who chose DPS takes Symmetra, you will always have that second option to fall back on now.
Well, I had three options to fall back on. It was one of each.
That's the thing.
Now you have a foundation in every category.
Yeah.
Now you have a foundation in every category. You have Mercy on support, you have Symmetra on DPS, and you have D.Va on tank.
Now just choose one more of each category and start learning.
Now I have to learn how to play three more characters.
Usually you can equate skills from one character to another character. Like, probably the easiest character, especially depending on how you play D.Va, which you usually play a pretty stationary D.Va, just play what's her name? The fastest tank of all,
most mobile tank
the most
ever.
Mobile, not the fastest. The most mobile.
Most mobile tank.
Play the most mobile tank. I mean,
Yasara or whatever?
I'm trying to think of her name.
Orisa.
Yeah, just play like Orisa. I mean, Orisa's actually a really solid tank. She's good at high levels, and she's not super complicated. You basically do the same thing you do with D.Va. Just hold down the left button and aim at people. And things happen. And if people start getting too close to you, you right-click and you drag them away from you. there's definitely a lot you can do.
And hey, if you're really good with a Symmetra and you really like Symmetra's turrets, start being Torbjorn. He has a turret too.
He does, and I hate Torbjorn. But okay, they changed Torbjorn. I forgot they changed Torbjorn a little bit. He's different now.
And if you want another healer other than Mercy, you know what? Be Lucio. You literally just toss yourself on the healing AoE and just run around the map. You don't have to do nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, especially at a lower level, that is a great Lucio. Like, Lucio's fine at a lower level. Like, on that Lucio. The real advantage of Lucio at higher level, like, is just his speed boost. That's it. Nobody cares about Lucio's healing at higher level. Nobody gives a shit about his healing. His healing is shit at higher level. It's like, because it's not enough healing to out-heal the damage you take. But his speed boost is a godsend. It makes him damn near pick in every match. So, you literally, at lower levels, you can just pick Lucio and just grass forever. Nobody cares. You're fine. Just hop around a wall, skate around the map, and sit there. You heal your team, maybe shoot a couple people get too close, you boop them away. If there's a hole in the map or edge of the map, you boop them off the map. Congratulations, you're a Lucio player. Like, that's pretty much how you play Lucio. You just kind of annoy the shit out of people.
See, Rob, have we brought ease to your troubled mind?
Sure.
Well, I like that, sure. I'm going to take that, sure.
Sure. I'm still trying to think of an actual suitable replacement of Symmetra into...
I already told you.
...or DPS. Because the whole point of Symmetra is she shoots a beam, that you don't really have to, like... It's all tracking aiming. It's all tracking. So I'm trying to think of another character that's equally just tracking aiming. So it would be hit scan.
Her beam isn't tracking anymore.
No, it's tracking, not like homing. Like, tracking in the sense of you just have to swipe your mouse and follow.
Yeah, you have to just be staring at the guy while you're shooting, which is literally pretty much almost everybody. I mean, Soldier 76.
Well, no, I mean, like, you wouldn't want, like, Junkrat wouldn't equate because you have to lead on Junkrat. You know what I mean? He's not hit scan, and he's... Play Mei. You just freeze them to death and then shoot them in the head. It's super simple. Or if you don't shoot them in the head, you freeze them and move away and let your team kill them. Mei's not a bad pick.
Actually,
Thinking about it, like,
why'd you have to say that? Now, Rob, I kind of want to watch you play Mei now. It's essentially the same. It's essentially almost the same gun as Symmetra.
It is. Like, when you think about it, Symmetra's right click is a charge that gets stronger as you hold it. Mei's doesn't get stronger, but it's a right click that has a charge. You then shoot an icicle that does damage. Hers is a ball that does damage.
Right.
You don't throw turrets. You can heal yourself, and you put up a wall to block shit. You're not really throwing turrets out, which is nice, but you can freeze people in place with your main gun, and you have the same DPS as the tree on a headshot.
And you can't use Devin's whole hatred of Symmetra about her turrets slowing the enemy down.
You're right.
Because May, as you're shooting them, will slow them down.
May slows you down. Before she freezes you, you get slow when she shoots you. Yeah, no. Symmetra actually is... like, in a different package, Symmetra is just May. Thinking about it on paper. So there you go, Rob. Just start playing May. There's nothing wrong with playing May. May is amazing. I love May. She's my favorite. May is May.
Well,
I hate you. So now I'm thinking about how Symmetra's ult is just May's ice wall, but larger.
Yep.
It literally is.
Yep.
It is. And then technically,
but you know what? May can heal herself. Symmetra can't. So May's better.
May can heal herself. And technically, May's ult.
Symmetra does heal herself.
How?
She doesn't die.
She has shield.
She has recharges.
She has shield. So technically, she passively heals herself.
Oh.
With shields. But no, technically, May's ult is just a less damaging version of Symmetra's turret. Because it slows you down to the point where you can't move. I mean, yeah, no! Play May, Rob. It works. I like May. And you will never hear me complain about May. Ever. Ever.
Unless he's playing against a May.
Well, if I'm playing against May, I pick May, and then I fuck me up. That's how that goes. You have to assert your dominance.
Well,
that's when you get in their face with the gun. You kill them and you ice tip with them right in the face, right in the mouth.
I'm glad we had this conversation.
You assert your dominance over the other May.
See, now I'm worried because now Rob put into my skull. Now if I go to say to click on a tank or a healer. And somebody else takes the one that I like or the one that I'm good with. Now I gotta find another one.
You have a couple of people you play. Mm-hmm.
So
you
now
on DPS, Webby, on DPS you play Junkrat. On DPS you play Junkrat. You play Torbjorn. You play who else? Junkrat, Torbjorn, Reaper. So you have at least three right there that you play on a semi regular basis. And I mean, let's talk about how much you love Hanzo. Am I right?
Fucking hate Hanzo. I hate Hanzo, but I still refuse to say that I'm good with him. Okay? I refuse.
There you go. So, on support, you play Lucio. I've seen you play Zenyatta. You're not bad.
I play Brig.
Who else you? Huh? And Brig. Yeah, I mean, you have Brig. So, you have two or three to go to. You have two
What's
or three.
Name?
And then
Moira.
Tank, you have...
Moira, yeah.
Tank, you have... Roadhog.
That's all I got.
And, I mean, Roadhog's an awesome.
That's all
he's
I got.
Works in general. He's probably not going to be the first pick tank on the team, so you're probably safe. In general, you're probably safe. And technically, if you can play Roadhog, you can kind of sort of play Orisa.
Listen, Orisa's that tank where it's like, if you can play so-and-so, you can probably play Orisa.
Well, here, let me talk to you about why. So, while Roadhog does have the slower gun, Orisa does have a faster gun. She has a faster shooting gun with more ammo, kind of like a D.Va, not exactly. But,
they're
Roadhog
both has slow
a hook.
As fuck.
Roadhog has a hook, who he's also slow as fuck. She doesn't have a hook. She has a right click, which you can self-detonate and pull people towards you, pull them away from you. It's a multi-faceted hook. There's that. And technically, her ult is her regular attack is kind of similar to the ult. Then you have the shield. You have the passive shield you can throw down in front of you and protect you.
And Roadhog has his drugs.
He has his drugs that heals himself. You have a shield that keeps him alive. And then, not only that, kind of a combination of both, you have this stand strong ability, which lets you ignore CC, which is cool, and you take less damage. And while Roadhog can't do half of the other stuff, mechanically wise, you can use Roadhog or you use Orisa very similar to tether people and like hold down lanes and do burst damage to people. Because people, Orisa has a surprising amount of damage because she's pretty easy to track with. Like people run up in Orisa all the time, like Reinhardt will charge up in Orisa and get fucked up. He's like, I'm going to charge you, Ariza. I'm going to do it. He charges it. As soon as he does it, you just activate your second ability. You can't be pinned. And then he just gets knocked out. And he shoot him in the face and laugh at him. And that's what happened.
Huh. You know, for someone who went on a 9-month hiatus from Overwatch, you seem awfully pumped about this.
I said this got me really excited about Overwatch. And I never said I didn't dislike Overwatch. I still enjoy talking about Overwatch. I'm a game theorist. I like theorizing about things. You know this about everything. How many hours have we talked about D&D? And I was like, you said one thing, and I've gone on like a 45-minute tangent about how this could work this way with this.
Yeah, in all honesty, you know what? I don't know why I'm ever worried when we come up to a week where we got to record an SU and I don't have a topic ready. Because honestly, all I got to do is ask you a question, and 45 minutes later, the episode's pretty much done.
I'm a theorist.
I love it.
I can theory crap. I love theory craft. I can theory craft anything. You put me and Donnie in a room, and after the sex is done, we're going to theory craft everything.
Sex will never be done.
Probably right. But we'll theory craft everything.
Yeah.
I love theory craft.
It's fun.
Like, let's go back to talking about Roy for a second. You know we didn't bring up Roy, but let's just go back to talking about Roy for a second.
Like, Where you do? I gotta go. I gotta get back to work.
Alright. Bye, Quist.
Enjoy the rest of your night. Like, when you brought up Roy, you brought up, like, Path of Mercury. What was the first thing? It was, like, 50 messages, like, theory crafting. Well, what could I do in this situation? How about this situation?
I kicked myself in the ass that whole time.
And you know what didn't come up in that situation? Fucking elevator. But you worked it out on the fly with me, and I love you. Point being is, I like theory craft. I honestly would love to start a theory crafting podcast. That would be fun. Just sit down, you bring up like a random topic in theory craft all the ways it could go terribly or terribly right. Who knows, man? Who knows?
Well, I know one thing.
We've hit an hour.
We're at an hour, almost an hour and a half.
Woo!
So I guess we'll end the episode here. Donnie, thank you for hopping on.
No problem.
I know you didn't really say much.
I just don't know a whole lot about it.
No, that's fine. When I did message you and I saw you were playing Diablo, I was like, well, Devin left. I don't know where Devin went. Donnie, get on here and talk to me about Brightburn. And then Devin came back, so we just blew through Brightburn. Yeah.
And then we tangent talked about Overwatch for a while.
Yeah.
And you do something else. Totally
so, Devin.
Minecraft. Fucking, what you call it?
Before we end the episode, we need our moment of zen with Devin.
Sure. Moment of zen, even though I don't have power. But let's make it happen. That's never stopped me before. Wait, hold on. I'm going to give you guys a live power update. What's going on with my power? Let's find out. Check status. A crew has arrived in your area to address the power problem. Sources of the problem may not be in the visible area. We are working as quickly and safely as possible to resolve your problem. We estimate your power will be restored by 9:30 p.m. today. Well, outage due to high electrical demand.
Ooh.
What?
All right.
So you just basically just said the problem is because you fail at your job. You are a power company.
Too many people
at your job.
Too many people in Detroit logged into the internet and blew an outlet.
Apparently. I always love looking at, like, the $1 million house, because I always laugh, like, I tell you, Detroit's a donut. It's like a donut of crime. You have, like, a pocket in downtown Detroit that's great. You have a donut of crime, and then on the outside of that, it's like, so you have, like, these, like, million, $2 million properties in central downtown by, like, all the stuff down there where, like, you're paying, like, $1 million for it. And then on the, you have this donut of crime, and then on the outside of that donut on both ends, $250,000, $500,000, you know, $3 million home.
All right.
Hey, it makes sense.
So, listeners out there, you're gonna get a moment of zen with Webby. Don't eat the Detroit donut.
Or do.
No, don't. Especially right now, they don't have power.
You know what I just realized, Webby? We stole the moment of Zen from the Daily Show.
What?
The Daily Show has a segment.
They have a moment of Zen as a segment?
They do.
Oh. Well, hey, you just started doing these Zen things. I was just like, all right, well, we'll go with it. Now you're telling me somebody else has it. Now we can't have it anymore.
No, we still can't.
See,
fuck it.
Listeners, Devin giveth, Devin taketh away.
If John Stewart has a problem, he knows where he can find me. If he doesn't know where he can find me...
Where can he find you on the internet, Devin?
You can find me on Twitter at DMP_Pookie and on Twitch at PooKilledMe. And as always, you can find me on eBay at Powerless Seattle.
Donnie, where can people give you pokes and shout-outs if they want to talk to you on the internet?
You can find me.
You can poke his butthole.
You cannot do that. You can't do that.
Naruto style, just.
Yeah, please don't put four fingers. That no.
Hold
this. You can find me. I'm gone. You can't find me. You can find me at Jax Force Walker. All one word.
Man, why do you never give like Austin's? Why you always gotta steal mine?
Because you're here right now.
God damn it.
And I like yours. Because I always like to think that you don't put the all one word in there. And I tried to make one that said Jax Forest Walker, all one word, and it was too big.
Well, as always, thank you guys for listening. And you guys can follow me on Twitter at Jax Forest Walker, all one word. On Twitch at DM Webby. On Instagram at something. And on eBay, looking for. No power in Detroit. Yeah, I don't know what just fucking happened. I think I smell burnt toast.
Anyway, oh no.
And hey, everybody else, remember, as always, before we say fuck Booster Gold, we're getting to that. Got one thing to tell you. Everything that happens to you is a form of instruction if you pay attention.
Well, and our instructions to you are fuck Booster Gold.
Yep. Fuck Booster Gold and tongue punch Donnie's fart.
Ooh. Ooh.
Well, ooh. Well, that genie's still in its bottle, I'll say that.
Well, I mean, that's the second time tongue punching a fart box has been referenced on SU. The other one was by Clay.
It was a subtle shout-out. It was a subtle shout-out.
Interesting.